Okay, this morning we're going to continue, I guess, what has become our series about sleep. So today we're going to talk about the obligation of a sleeping person to do mitzvos, which seems like a little bit of an interesting, of a funny kind of topic, because most of the time when a person is sleeping, they're not really in control of what they are doing exactly. But from a halachic perspective, it is somewhat interesting that a sleeping person, on the one hand, has reduced awareness of his environment and is very similar to a dead person in the fact that the Navi describes a person who is dead as being in eternal sleep, and is obviously kibin shemes adam nasa chavshim in a mitzvah. Gemara Nidat of Samech Aleph says that when a person dies, they are free from all mitzvos betelos lasilavo. But on the other hand, the sleeping person is simply recharging, and he's very much alive, and therefore there may be some level of obligation, some level of chiyuv in mitzvos, or responsibility for himself. And we'll see that there are a number of different ramifications to this chakira, of what exactly the status of a sleeping person is, and what we'll try to discuss, if we have time today, if not, maybe we'll get to it another day, the great chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a unique chiddush when it comes to the status of a person who's asleep. But what we'll start with is as follows. There are certain indications, certain cases in halacha, where it's clear that a sleeping person is considered to be very different than a person who's awake. He's considered to be excluded from regular mitzvos, regular responsibilities. On the other hand, there are certain cases where it's equally clear that a sleeping person is considered to be the same as a person who's awake. The trick is in all of the in-between cases, the cases where there is a machlokas. So the two cases where it's abundantly clear, where it's unanimous, that a sleeping person is exempt from any chiyuvim from the chiyuvim that a person is awake are, number one, in Ebn Ezer, Simon Kuflam, and Chesiv Gimel, the Shulchan Paskins, that if a man gives his sleeping wife a get, he's afraid it's going to be contentious when he gives his wife a get, so he waits till she's asleep, and he sticks the get in her hand while she is asleep. So the halach is that that get is not chal, it's not a valid get, unless after she woke up, he tells her, zegiteich. So apparently the divorce cannot be effective when she is sleeping. Why? Because she's sleeping. And apparently sleeping people do not have the same status as people who are awake. Now that itself is not necessarily a great raya about the general status of sleeping people, because by gittin, as many of you know, we learned Masechta Gittin this year, there is a halacha that it needs to be mishtameres midaita. So obviously if she's sleeping, it's not mishtameres midaita, so it's a technicality why it would not work. Another example where a sleeping person clearly is not the same as a person who's awake, the Gemara in Krisus and the Firal Famidal tells us that a person who commits an avera of arayos while they are asleep is not chayiv, and that's paskin by the Rambam in Isurabia Perek Aleph Halach Yurches. That's a much more direct example, because that's actually a maisa avera that a person does while they are asleep, and they're not considered to be chayiv de avera. On the flip side, there are cases where everyone assumes that a sleeping person is the same as a person who's awake. For example, the Mishnah Maseches Baba Kama and Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph tells us that a person who damages while he is asleep is obligated to pay for the damages that he did. If he's a wild sleeper and he breaks things in his sleep, so he has to pay for the things that he breaks in his sleep, which seems to, and Shulchan Aruch passes this way, in Chosh Mishpat, some Tav Chav Aleph, Si'if Gimel. So it seems that he is obligated, he is like a person who's awake. Although that's also not so clear, because both the Rashba and Tosos on the spot in Maseches Baba Kama point out that the Yerushalmi seems to say otherwise. The Yerushalmi says that if a person goes to sleep and then someone else comes and takes a very fragile item and puts it right next to the sleeping person, then the sleeping person turns over and breaks it, so he is not obligated to pay in that case. So the reason that he's not obligated to pay in that case seems to be machlokas between the Yerushalmi, which says that it's the second person who put the item there, it's his fault, and Tosos says that that's an onus gomor. Anything that's an onus gomor, something that's completely beyond his control, he's going to be pater from. The second indication is also Mishnah Maseches Baba Kama, but on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells the Mishnah tells us that if somebody embarrasses a sleeping person, he has to pay for the humiliation of the sleeping person. A person falls asleep, let's say, on the train or something, so someone gets him dressed up or does something to him, puts him in a position, takes pictures or whatever, and posts it on social media. He does some sort of act of embarrassing a sleeping person. He does have to pay because for the embarrassment that it caused. So it would seem that the link between those cases is that there's a victim to the actions of the sleeping person. A person can argue that one might argue that a sleeping person is not obligated to mitzvos, but if there's a victim that resulted from it, you can't ignore the victim. Now, where it gets interesting is cases where there's a discussion in Poskim, where Poskim have a machlokas about the exact status of a sleeping person. Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simin Nun Hei Siv Vav, that a sleeping person, just like a person who's still in the middle of davening and can't answer Amen to Chazar Sashat, can still count toward a minyan for davening. You have 9 people who are awake, 1 person who's sleeping, you have a minyan as far as tefillah is concerned. So there is a discussion as to whether to accept that psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah says that the same would apply to a minyan for Birchas HaMazon, or maybe even for Kriyas HaTorah, for Nesias Kapayim. With regard to Kriyas HaMegillah, it would certainly not count, right? A sleeping person would definitely not count for Kriyas HaMegillah. Why not? Because by Kriyas HaMegillah, the whole Indian is Persuminisa. So by Kriyas HaMegillah, it certainly would not be good enough. But when it's not about Persuminisa, it's just about the Hashras HaShchina that comes with Asara, with 10 people. So Shulchan Aruch says a sleeping person can count for that. So there is a discussion, though, whether we should accept that psak of the Shulchan Aruch. There's even a discussion whether the Shulchan Aruch accepts that psak of the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch himself in Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Chav Dalid Siv Dalid says that if you have less than 9 people paying careful attention to Chazar Sashatz and answering Amen, then it's Karav Liyosav Berchasav Bracha Levatala, then it's Kimat Bracha Levatala by the Chazan. That the Chazan saying a bracha levatala if you don't have 9 people answering. So it doesn't seem, obviously a sleeping person is not answering Amen, so it doesn't seem that the Shulchan Aruch himself accepts that psak. So that's an interesting discussion. Hakon Olamo Chelek Aleph, we have a whole discussion about that, about how to reconcile those two psakim of the Shulchan Aruch. But whether we should even accept this psak of the Shulchan Aruch is debated by the Nosei Kelim on the page. Magen Avraham and Simen Nun Hei Sivkat L'Chaz says, yes, we accept what the Shulchan Aruch says. A sleeping person can count toward a minyan. And he says, not only that, there are those that say 3 or 4 sleeping people can count toward a minyan, as long as the majority of the minyan is awake. And Magen Avraham says that, no, we're not going to go that far, because the primary reason to count the sleeping person to a minyan is because we can count a baby toward a minyan. And nobody would suggest that multiple babies can be counted toward a minyan. At most, 1 katan can count toward a minyan. You can't count many ketanim toward a minyan, so a sleeping person has a din like a katan. But the Magen Avraham does accept the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Taz on the side of the page, Simon and Hesef Katan Dalid, absolutely rejects the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, bring me all your rayas that a sleeping person is good enough to count toward a minyan, I'll reject all of them. And he goes through one by one. 3 rayas. First, Beis Yosef quotes from Mari Bei Rav, who's Beis Yosef's Rebbe, that says that the halacha that a sleeping person count toward a minyan is from the fact that a person who's in the middle of saying Shemoneh Esrei can count toward a minyan. Taz says that is a horrible comparison. They have nothing to do with each other. A person who's in the middle of davening can stand silently and listen to Kedusha and therefore be included through Shomea Ka'ona. But a sleeping person can't listen and therefore cannot participate on any level in any part of what's going on. So that doesn't convince him at all. A second possible raya, Beis Yosef quotes from the Aguda, who views the opinion of the Gemara that a young child can count toward a minyan as a precedent for the idea that a sleeping person can count toward a minyan. Taz points out that's even a more troubling comparison for many reasons. First of all, we don't paskin that a young child can count toward a minyan. Second of all, even those who did paskin that he can didn't paskin it lemaisa, it was just in theory. And third, a child could be in a better position to count toward a minyan than a sleeping person, because a child has kedusha, a sleeping person is consumed with tumah. So when it's all about Ashras HaShchina, you can't have someone who's suffering the tumah of being asleep bring about Ashras HaShchina, whereas a child can. And finally, while there's no remedy for youth, or no immediate remedy for youth, I mean, it takes care of itself over time, but not immediately, you can't fix it, there is a way to fix the fact that there's a sleeping person. Wake him up! There's a way to stop that, to fix it. So you can't say, oh, if a kid can count toward a minion, a sleeping person can count toward a minion. And then the third raya of the Beis Yosef had suggested that counting sleeping people for a minion is derived from the common custom of allowing people who are talking about other things to count toward a minion. People are stam schmoozing in shul that they somehow count toward a minion. So Taz says, I don't buy it. I don't think people who are talking can count toward a minion. I don't think the precedent is true. He's saying we can compare it to that. I think that the very raya needs a raya. And second of all, even if they do count toward a minion, we should never extrapolate the halachic rules from what the Taz calls stupid people who are doing great averos. That's how he refers to people who are talking during davening, during chazar shat. So after quoting both shitos, meaning both the shita of the Magen Avraham and the Taz, how do you deal with this halacha and shulchan aruch? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins that a person should wake up a person who's sleeping to make a minion, at least to the point that he's no longer in a deep slumber, right? If he's snoring, right, then certainly you should take care of that. That's disruptive to everybody else. But at least get him to the point where he's only like dozing off a little bit. In the Bir Halacha, he's not sure if a person can rely on the sleeping person in a case where it would be impossible to wake him up. What's the great chiddush of Rosh Hashanah and Orbach? So what have we done so far? We pointed out that a sleeping person, there are certain halachos that he's definitely like an awake person, that he has certain chivim like an awake person, certain halachos that he's definitely not like an awake person, where he's not chayv in things. And then you have this debatable area of whether he counts toward a minyan. Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very great chiddush. In Alicha Shlomo on Tefillah, in the back of the Sefer of Alicha Shlomo on Tefillah, in the Miluim, Simin Yud Beis, he develops the following thesis. He says that it's obvious that while a person is sleeping, he has no chiyuvim to do any mitzvos, including kriyashma, including Tefillah, because he's like a shota, and a shota is pater from mitzvos. And therefore, he's patur from mitzvah saseh, he's patur from mitzvah lo saseh, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, in order to develop his shita, quotes seven possible kashas on his theory, rejects all of the kashas, and then quotes five rayas to his theory that sleeping people are totally potter, totally excluded from any mitzvah sasei or lo sasei. It's interesting that in Derech Sicha, on page 368, it says that Reb Chaim Kanievsky paskin that a person who's sleeping is obligated to perform acts of chesed if he's the only one capable of doing them, and you could wake him up to do acts of chesed. So apparently, Reb Chaim Kanievsky does not accept Rosh Shlomo Zalman's shita that a sleeping person is potter from all mitzvos, and in fact, in Encyclopedia Talmudit, it says that even Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't mean to consider a sleeping person as a full-fledged shota, because even Rav Shlomo Zalman agrees that someone who knows that he's going to be removed from a sukkah shouldn't go to sleep in a sukkah. I mean, if you know the second day you fall asleep, they're going to wheel you right out of the sukkah, and to make room, and then you shouldn't go to sleep in such a sukkah. But if somebody knew that they would become a shota and would be removed from the sukkah while a shota, it's obviously that you are allowed to go to sleep in the sukkah in that case. So that's what they. It's not clear how far Shlomo Zalman takes this, but maybe we're not going to have time today. So maybe tomorrow, maybe some other time, if you're interested, we'll go through the seven rayas which Shlomo Zalman brings against himself, how he answers all those rayas, and the five rayas he brings for himself for this unbelievable shita. Just think about the ramifications of this. I don't know if you guys are chopping what the ramifications of this is. It means that camp time is not a problem, right? It means that you can have late teen wake up at, you know, mincha time, and the fact that everyone missed Zman Krishma, that everyone missed Zman Tvila, you know, that's fine because they were sleeping. And if you're sleeping, you're totally put. You don't have to worry if you're sleeping. It means every father that ever woke up his teenage son and said, "You got to get up, it's time for davening," the teenage son could say, "No, I really don't. In fact, it's really annoying that you're waking me up. I'm put for mitzvahs. Would you shake a shota and say, you got to stop being a shota? No, you can't. I'm a shota right now. I'm put for mitzvahs." So obviously, Rosh Hashanah Zalman doesn't recommend this. I'm sure when Rav Shmuel and Rav Israel and Rosh Hashanah Zalman's children were young, I'm sure he woke them up for davening. But the question is, at least in theory, how far does this go? Okay, so maybe we'll have an opportunity to discuss that tomorrow or some other time.